my God, we're here. Are we here finally? Okay, this is Emmanuel here for Off the Hook. Kyle, are you there? Say something, Kyle. You got to use your voice.
No.
Okay. Kyle's been tearing his hair out trying to get the radio station to answer the damn phone, and here we are connected finally. Wow, 8 minutes lost. Thanks, guys. Okay, it's Off the Hook, and we're in the middle of a coronavirus, so things are going a little crazy in the broadcasting world, that's for sure. We are going to also be joined by Rob. Rob, are you there over Skype? No, he's not there. What's going on, Kyle?
I don't know.
Okay, you guys were testing this for a half hour beforehand, and now it doesn't work. Okay, so are they just being silent, or... Kyle, you got to talk to me.
What are we supposed to... What?
Are you guys there? Can you hear me? I don't think they can hear me.
All right.
All right, so we just discovered that Skype doesn't work. Great. All right. You know what? I'm prepared to go by myself if that's what it takes until the technology starts working again. I'll tell you what, we have a conference coming up starting this weekend, and it's going for a full 9 days, and our technology works. We know because, well, we've been using it a lot more and testing it a lot more, and it's professional. And we're doing something special tonight for supporters of the radio station. For those of you listening who want to go to the Hope Conference, yes, it's a virtual conference, but you can go to it in various ways by participating online and attending talks, attending workshops, attending performances, being part of our massive chat. It's something that lots and lots of people have chosen to take part in. It's incredible because we thought that the conference was doomed. We thought that we were doomed. And then all of a sudden, this outpouring of support, ideas, innovation... And we were able to put this together. Okay, can you please tell us all what's going on? Because this is insane. It's like dealing with the Soviet Union, trying to figure out who died.
Too much.
Yeah.
Way too much.
We have a technical audience who would like to know exactly what we're dealing with. So tell them.
The audio interface is having negotiations with... voice over IP client that we're using, and they're not going well. They seem to be breaking down.
Uh-huh.
At one point, our guests could hear, at which point I decided it was a good time to connect to the station.
Uh-huh.
I have, because we're remote, we're using a phone, obviously, and phones can do magical things. That phone has an inflating battery and needs to be kept cool.
Yeah, the phone almost exploded the other day.
So I had to go into the crisper in the fridge and pull it out. And boot it up right before the show. And as I was...
Yeah, but you had a slice of pizza by accident. You thought it was in the same type of wrapping.
Yeah,
and so
yeah,
we
yeah.
were actually trying to go on the air with a slice of pizza, a frozen pizza. We discovered that quickly enough. So.
It looked the same.
It did.
I haven't eaten or slept very much either because I'm doing all kinds of pre-production and stuff that all our volunteers are doing.
We're 3 days away from the conference, and it's a 9-day conference.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And we're not on next week, folks. So if you're thinking of tuning in to see what our mental state is then, you'll have to look at the conference because we'll be back here in 2 weeks. For our own sanity, we can't be on next week in the middle of a conference.
Yeah, and that's good because there's a lot of important fundraising and stuff going on at WBAI. A lot of the community is excited about signing up, becoming a BAI buddy, and making sure that the station continues so that we can do specials like this, so that we can bring in people to the hacker and technological community and talk about the craziness of video conferencing and setting up hardware and software.
We're doing a special truncated show because of all the technical difficulties getting on here. So anyway, to continue with your woes here, so you had this ballooning battery.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So we're using a mobile reporting app that is... fairly common, but that phone is waiting for a new battery, and at this point, dangerous.
You can't just order things anymore. You have to order and wait.
Things are slow.
It takes 2 weeks to get anything overnight.
It takes a long time to get stuff. I expected it would have been here, but...
Do you know all the issues of 2600 Magazine for summer? No, wait. This is summer. Spring. The spring issue. They were lost in Canada. all of them.
All of them?
I think all of them, because pretty much everybody's complaining to us. Yeah, and that it's really upsetting to us. They don't know where they went. They went out in, I think it was, what month was that? It's all a blur now. I think it was April it went out. And
wow.
That's, of course, when everything hit the fan. So, yeah, it's been something. But continue with this.
Sure.
Adventure.
No. Okay. So the app and everything that we use for our remote broadcasting capacity, as many producers and programming is done these days, the software wasn't connecting. And I checked with the engineer. We've been so good at this. We have such a great team at WBAI and with Off the Hook. That, as I said, the video conferencing was set up with our friends and Matt interfacing with the board, which had been all reconfigured for other production stuff we're doing. Then I went back and connected, and the software itself wasn't connecting with the station. So I had to retry connecting multiple times, and I was in communication. I was talking to them, but...
Wait, you were talking. I thought they weren't answering the phone. That's we were calling.
No, I had been using SMS, which
okay.
Which
explain
as I was saying,
to me. No, hold on.
No, saying how good.
Explain to me. Explain how SMS is faster than voice. Explain
I'm
that.
I'm saying
to me.
That no, it is a. It takes less effort to be picking up a handset, being on. I don't know. I'm not going to defend it. Why are you putting me in this position? I don't want to answer that.
No, I'm old school. I just think picking up a phone and calling somebody when there's a crisis is quicker than typing on your fingers and sending.
Our engineers are very busy, and they actually need to be attentive to the board at the broadcast studios. They can't be on the phone. So it's better to maybe text. They can look at their phone, see that I said something, checking something, and then get to it when they want, not sit on the...
We're supposed to be on that board.
And hands aren't free.
We're out here, and we're not on any... Okay, we don't want to spend the whole show talking about how we got the show on the air, or how we almost didn't, but... Thank you, Kyle, for all your hard work.
And
people don't know how much hard work Kyle does.
No, they don't.
He is basically putting together all the... I mean, if you could see the room we're in now, wires everywhere. It's a bloody mess, but it's brilliant because that is what creativity is all about. You know, if you're an artist, if you're a musician, if you're a filmmaker...
Or you're ever...
Your office doesn't have to look neat as long as you're being creative and putting things together. And I got to say, you have been putting some really neat stuff together.
Yeah, and if you know, when you're growing up, if you're a kid out there and you're taking apart things or playing with the VCR, you might turn into a very interesting adult. That's all I got to say. I mean, it's been pretty cool to draw on all of the funny AV things and curiosities and actually try to make stuff. And I know a lot of other presenters and workshops and so many people right now are doing that for Hope, which we're terribly busy with and
you know,
excited about.
I'm going to continue what I started saying because I know people are hanging on this. We do have a special promotion to support the radio station. We have donated 10 conference tickets to the Hope 2020 conference, which starts on Saturday and goes all the way until August 2nd, 9 full days. And when I say full, I mean full. They start at 9 in the morning, and the talks run until midnight every day, except for the last day. The last day we have closing ceremonies in the evening. But that's not all we're having either. We have, I think, over 60 workshops, and we have performances, all kinds of musicians, and all sorts of other surprises as well. So it's action-packed. Now, we are offering tickets tonight half price if you support WBAI by calling 516. Oh, my God. I forgot the number, and I don't have it written down in front of me.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Hey, are the Skype people connected this time?
516.
Wait, there we go. Hold on, Rob. Go ahead.
That would be 516-620-3602.
And what's the SMS?
And that's the only words Rob is going to say tonight.
No. I think
the phone number.
He should tell us the SMS. We were just talking about SMS. So what was that again?
It's 41444. Text the letters WBAI. It's short code 41444.
And that phone number again, Rob?
The phone number is 516-620-3602.
I need the 3602 part. It's a 620 for some reason I have difficulty with. 516-620-3602. So call that for a pledge of $100. You will get a $200 Hope ticket, but you have to pay by credit card, and you have to pay tonight because we're going to get the email addresses, and you have to give an email address. We're going to get those addresses and process them tomorrow, and you will get your ticket tomorrow. So if it's after today, if it's tomorrow, if it's not Wednesday, it's too late for this. We only have 10 of these. I assume they'll go fast. If they don't go, then we won't have them available, and because the time is too short for us to actually process them. So again, 516.
Oh, that's Alex.
Alex is climbing into the phone closet. Is that what's going on? 516-620-3602.
Oh, no, he's being attacked by a grizzly.
Is that what's happening?
Yeah.
In the cabin in Pennsylvania. As for the Hope 2020 conference ticket. Hope 2020 conference ticket. Yes, you can get more than one. You can't get more than 10, though, because that's all we have. 516-620-3602 or go to givetowbbai.org, and you should see it there as under premiums somewhere. But again, only tonight, only during this show, and it's to support WBAI, which is a terrific clearinghouse of information, non-commercial, in the middle of the FM dial in New York City, on the air since 1960, broadcasting, well, no longer on the top of the Empire State Building, but on top of another building that's close by that almost is as tall. Just the things that have gone out over these airwaves are historic in so many ways. It's no matter what your philosophical, political point of view is, having a place like WBAI is one of the healthiest things that there is. So please support this place. 516-620-3602. We're offering the Hope 2020 conference tickets for a discounted price of $100. And it's really going to be something. Yes, it's a virtual conference, but we are going to have content from all over the world. We're going to see the hacker community come together like it's never come together before. I was very pessimistic about this at the beginning because it just seemed like everything was doom and gloom. But this community really can pull it together and come up with ideas and new ways of doing things. And I got to say, this is the pre-Hope show. We always have a pre-Hope show before a Hope conference every 2 years.
Yeah.
I have that same tingling sensation, which is either a heart attack or anticipation or both. There's so much going on, so much activity. I stepped away from email for a little bit, but literally every 5 seconds I have some other email to answer or something else to arrange. It's crazy. It drains you, but it's amazing, too. I just love being in the thick of things like this. So that spirit is here. In fact, we got more talk submissions than in any other conference before. And over the past week, we've been getting video submissions for people who have pre-recorded their talks. But all talks are going to have a live Q&A session that only attendees can participate in. And that's the advantage of being an attendee. And the same thing for workshops there for attendees as well. And the hallway track where you're able to congregate and talk to other attendees. So we've never done this before. Very few people have. There are going to be mistakes, missteps, and some awesomeness. So I'm really looking forward to it. Let me say hi to Alex. Alex, how you doing?
I'm well. Was I making a bunch of noise earlier?
You were making a horrendous amount of noise, yes.
Well, that was all on purpose, so just wanted to make sure it came through. I'm doing pretty well. I'm still out here in Pennsylvania, as you guys can see, and nobody on the radio can see. I'm out here, you know, about 100 feet away from a body of water. Things could be worse. Forgetting how I am, because I'm the same as I have been for a while now. Back to Hope.
Yes.
I think the fact that this conference is happening is absolutely insane. And in fact, I recall, an evening last year, I guess it was probably like last spring, maybe early summer, you and Kyle were in the city. You had just gotten some really bad news from Hotel Pennsylvania that they were jacking up their rates. It didn't seem like it was going to be economically feasible in order to hold the Hope conference at Hotel Pennsylvania. You were very upset about this. Kyle was upset about this. I was upset about this. We were in the middle of dealing with the Strand Bookstore's landmarking situation as well. And I think that was the night that Naomi Wolf was speaking at the Strand. You met me outside the Strand bookstore, and there was this omen in the window of the Strand bookstore. And perhaps you can pick up the narrative flow.
Well, I don't know the exact wording. I think you probably have a better sense of what it was. But yeah, it kind of, you know, I was fit to be tied at that point. We had gone to the hotel to arrange the next conference, and were told that the price had tripled, and it was completely impossible for us to do this without jacking up the price tremendously for our attendees, and that would simply shut out so many people that we want the conference to exist for. So we didn't know where we could possibly go. We were thinking about all sorts of ideas, but none were coming immediately. But yeah, standing outside the Strand, what was it we saw exactly? It was a book in the window, right?
It was a book. You looked into the storefront window on 12th and Broadway over there, and you said, "Oh my God, look at this. This is a terrible omen." There was a book, the title of which I think was "Hope is Lost," which was right in the window of the bookstore. At that point, it was very difficult to talk you off the ledge. We went and we saw Naomi Wolf.
No, I think I ran out into traffic in Broadway at that point, and you had to talk me back.
Yeah, you would have been in a better mood if you got hit, I think.
I think
but
so.
The,
yeah.
It was an interesting evening, and then it was a real fiasco to find another venue, and everybody worked really hard in this, and no one worked harder than you and Kyle on trying to find a new venue. We got a new venue. It was St. John's. Everything was looking great, and then the whole world literally got turned upside down and fractured by the coronavirus.
Yeah, and you say me and Kyle, let's not forget Greg Newby, who actually did so much work in tracking
absolutely
down St. John's and doing so much else for this conference as well. But yeah, it's we found a terrific venue, St. John's University, amazing place, lots of space, bigger, more possibilities, and we were really looking forward to it. It was a challenge, but then we had this other challenge come on top of things, so... Yeah, it's been a whirlwind of activity from last year till now.
And the thing of that is that so much had already been evolving and emerging, and people working really hard to set up for the venue change, which itself was with not a insignificant amount of uncertainty. So to not do something, it seemed like really unfair to people who had volunteered or who had committed to doing some kind of activity or presenting. So we wanted to do what we could to provide at least equivalent experience, but remotely and virtually, as I said, lots of other things are.
Well, we have so much talent. We have Jolie from Internet Society, who works tirelessly to help us get the conference out to the world. It's just I am blown away by the talent, and of course that's not even starting to look at all the speakers that we have. My God, you can go to hope.net and just look at the schedule so far. We have a really neat system now where you can click on a talk and get all the information about the people that are presenting the talk. You know what's really cool about our system? If you go to hope.net, you can. I know this is just the geek in me going nuts over this. You can click on the time zone and change it. So you can see what time every talk begins in, say, Japan or in Europe or in California. And it's you don't have to do any kind of mathematical equations. It's right there in front of you. So when we say we begin at 9 in the morning in Los Angeles, that's 6 in the morning, as you well know. But you can see that directly on our site by changing the time zone. But there's so many more cool things than just that. That's just an indication of how many different systems are integrated. And, wow, we're going to have Greg on in just a couple of minutes to share some of that as well. But first, before we do that, I want to go to somebody else who has coordinated something really, really cool. You know, we're having a film festival at the conference that we've never done before. And here to tell us all about that, as soon as I can find my connection here, is Lexicon.
This is Lexicon, self-quarantined in Upper Manhattan, and thinking about Hope 2020, which I'm very excited is starting this coming weekend. I've been thinking about Hackers on Planet Earth conferences that we've done in the past and how this year is a virtual conference. I was thinking about The Last Hope, not the previous Hope, but the one we called The Last Hope. I helped launch the Open AMD project, and we were launching Radio Statler, and I was on Off the Hook on this show talking about those projects, and Emmanuel asked me a question about why so many hackers are into photography and cameras and images, and I drew a total blank. I don't know. I didn't know, and there was, in fact, dead air, which you never want in radio. But it's true. So many hackers invest in nice cameras and spend time improving their skills in this area. And I was thinking, okay, we don't really get a great opportunity to show those skills off very often, not to the community. And here we are with the Hackers on Planet Earth conference having to be virtual because of the whole situation. And I'm in all these terrible Zoom meetings where it's just like the Q&A is the only thing you can really do in it. It's all this top-down kind of content. Well, what if we send some content up? Because HOPE's supposed to be interactive, and I know the HOPE organizers are doing a lot with making this one as interactive as possible with the workshops and everything, and being able to really communicate with the speakers. But I wanted to add something extra, and so I was thinking about this thing called a 24-hour play festival or a 48-hour film festival. What these things are is normally you would with a 48-hour film festival, you have a bunch of people show up, they split up into teams, and there's a challenge. You have to make a film that includes this, this, and this. And so then you have 48 hours to create your film. You find your actors, and you shoot it, and you edit it, and then it gets screened, and you win awards, and there's a prize, and it's fun. And if you're a filmmaker, you get to improve your skills. And if you're a good filmmaker in the first place, you get to show off your skills. And people have gotten hired from showing off really cool stuff in these festivals. So I was thinking about that. And I was also thinking about these conversations I've had with Eyeball about how we're living in the cyberpunk literature of the 80s and 90s. Like the things that were predicted by all these authors or the things that are all around us right now. We're living in the cyberpunk right now. And so all these things coming together in my head, what's come out of it is the Cyberpunk Now Film Festival. And so if you go to cyberpunk.hope.net, you can read quite a bit about it. On July 25th, on the first day of Hope at noon Eastern Time, we will drop these required challenge elements, and you will have 5 days to make a cyberpunk short film. There's 6 categories. There are interesting rules. Definitely read the rules. I wanted to make it something that would be complicated enough for hackers to have fun with. This is a cool competition. You can do it solo. If you don't want to be on a team, definitely check out the found footage category, which is more of an editing challenge. For that, you'll be digging through archive.org looking for public domain footage. Jason Scott from the Internet Archive is going to be one of our judges for that. If you have a Hope ticket, it's free to submit a project for judging. If you don't, you can still participate. Also, if you got a team of 1 or 2 filmmakers in any category, not counting your actors, so 1 or 2 filmmakers, and you don't have a Hope ticket, you can enter the student rate if you only have 2 filmmakers, which is more than half off. And I know a lot of people are short on cash right now, and we want to make this as accessible as possible. 2600 has put up a major credit in the 2600 store toward the grand prize, and we got some other prizes on top of that. But don't do it for the prizes. Do it for the glory. This is the cyberpunk meme demolition derby. Who will be the most cyberpunk? So pre-register at cyberpunk.hope.net, and we'll see you on the 25th. Send us your movies.
Thank you very much, Lexicon, for that and for organizing this terrific film festival. Again, if you go to hope.net and click on the cyberpunk button, you'll get the same information as well. I love just going to that site and looking at it. But the best thing about that site, actually, is the biggest button is hackers helping to fight COVID-19, because that's really what's the most important thing right now, is to get through this crisis together. And I think people are really joining hands to do that.
That was like the first instinct I know from a lot of our organizers, and just as we had been really well along in planning, we were hit with this as a species, and I think everybody who could was doing as much as they could. Results varied, but everybody really had their heart in it, and we tried to collect the best of that, and we immediately linked it on the Hope site. And a lot of different action was taken in different locales and wherever at least members of the Hope community were. And I know you and I did as much as we could here as well. So it is crucial, and I think a lot of the spirit of the talks took that tenor. I know there are several, Greg and other people who've had a little bit of an advanced knowledge of the speaking tracks will know more than I. But I know that's the thrust of a lot of the speakers will be presenting, and it was very much in the forefront of our minds. Like, how can we continue find people to cover for individuals who are at risk or are contributing to their community and really can't volunteer? We're really trying to be as flexible as possible. It was a tall ask. I mean, in the middle of a pandemic, hey, can you continue to help us? And we want to put on this show, but it's going to be virtual, but we promise it won't suck. You know, that's a tall order, but I know what we ended up with is a bit of both worlds and a lot of expertise and skill and exciting possibilities to make sure that it doesn't.
Yeah, and it's amazing. You might have a talk by a 16-year-old hacker from Texas followed by a talk by somebody from the World Health Organization. We have that much diversity, and they're coming from all four corners of the Earth, or more corners. I don't think we've got anything from Antarctica. I'm disappointed in that. But lots and lots of speakers, lots and lots of diversity, lots of information that is just being shared. Once again, I just want to give out the phone number, 516-620-3602, if you are interested in those limited half-price Hope tickets. The conference starts on Saturday and runs until the following Sunday, meaning 9 days.
It's 24/7.
It's 24/7, yeah.
Day and
24/9,
night.
I guess. And basically,
oh, nine,
basically what you will get is if you give us a credit card and your credit card and an email address, you will get a special code that allows you access to all the features of the conference. You can see the conference at Channel 2600. On YouTube, so just go to that channel 2600 on YouTube. You can see our countdown clock right now. I'm looking at this countdown clock. We have to have a conversation about this. I think it's wrong. I think
it's off by an hour.
I think it's off by 2 hours. It has us starting at 7 in the morning. I don't think that's right.
It was originally 9. Right. I know the first one's 10,
okay.
But we'll sort that.
We'll figure that out.
When it's around 48 hours still, we're going to get everything lined up.
Well, that's how I know, because it says 57 now, and 48 is 2. Okay, whatever. We'll the big numbers we have trouble with sometimes, but we will get it right.
Well, we're one thing at a time, and the schedule's the most exciting thing right now, and we're going to sync up with that soon.
So 516-620-3602, or give to WBAI.org. Get the Hope 2020 conference ticket while they last. You have to do it tonight. You have to pay with a credit card, and you will get an email tomorrow with a code that will allow you access. And that's only if they are still available. Joining us now via Skype from Ontario is Greg Newby.
Well, hello, Ontario, Canada, at your service.
Welcome. So, Greg, you've been working day and night for months now, organizing so much of this conference. It's about to begin, and we'll see how these efforts have paid off. Anything that you want to focus particular attention on?
I think the main thing is that for attendees, for people that want to get the content, it's going to be so easy to just watch the live stream. It's going to be just like watching TV on your computer, works on all the different devices, and we have the link up on our wiki already, so you can tune in now and watch this countdown clock that we mentioned and get a little more information. So just experiencing the content is going to be very, very easy. The other thing to mention, though, is that to participate interactively, as we've been talking about, well, that's where it gets interesting, and maybe some multitasking or paying attention to different signals, because we're going to have chat, text chat, where you can get in touch with speakers and with each other. You can even get tech support in the chat. And we're using some technology called Matrix for chat, which is, you know, cool distributed technology. We're going to invite people to the Mozilla Hub's virtual reality rooms for some of these hallway conversations that are so important. And then the last thing to mention here maybe a few others, but the last thing to highlight is workshops. So people are going to be in this teleconferencing software called Big Blue Button, and it's a little like Zoom, a little like Skype, these types of things. It also has some neat features for instruction, though. It's really designed for like classes and stuff like that. So in Big Blue Button, during workshops, people will be interacting with each other. They'll be able to, for example, take their camera on their computer and point it at what they're doing and say to the workshop coordinator, hey, you know, can you help me out here, or to another member of the workshop. So workshops are going to be truly informative. And for those that are standing by, workshop signups are going to open on Friday morning. So there's about 60 workshops, about 130 talks. I think you mentioned this already, and all these different ways of interacting with each other. So it's going to be a mix of technologies, yet we think the fundamental part of can you experience a talk, can you participate in a workshop, is actually going to be pretty easy. And I guess the last thing I'll just highlight is we spun up a whole little support infrastructure for this. You can email the help desk. You can ask in the chat. So these are things that we haven't done at in-person conferences because it wasn't really necessary. But we want to make sure that people have as smooth an experience as possible. So attendees with tickets absolutely should be getting in touch if you're running into any problems, having, you know, questions during the event or even leading up to it.
You know, and one thing that I would like to mention that Greg has also helped tremendously with is on the speaker side. You know, as somebody who's on the back end of this thing and also a Hope speaker, again, I want to reemphasize the fact that this conference is happening is nothing short of a miracle, because Greg put together this great video for everybody who had a talk that was accepted and you know, what you realize is when you go virtual, you either have to present this thing virtually live or you can pre-record it. And it's a giant pain in the butt to pre-record this stuff. It really, really is. Greg made this great video for all the speakers who really, you know, kept it extraordinarily simple for us simpletons who are going to be speaking at Hope. And it's, you know, but on the other hand, it still is a huge amount of work. It's a lot more work than just putting together slides and going in to present them. So, you know, Greg did a great job on putting all this together. I think the speakers committee all did a wonderful and fantastic job of getting submissions, vetting the submissions, coming up with 130 amazing talks that are going to happen in just a few short days. And then I really think it's those other 130-plus people that have all come together to make this thing happen. All of those speakers, plus all of the keynotes. I mean, this is really nothing short of a miracle, because let me tell you, being on the back and the front of this as a speaker, as one of three in this presentation, I'm not even doing a solo presentation like I usually do, it's a lot of work. So people are really putting their shoulder into this to make it happen. This is going to be extraordinarily special, and I think now would be a good time to plug the premium again, if you wanted to do that, Emmanuel.
Yes, fantastic idea, Alex. Basically, for a pledge of $100 to WBAI, you will get a Hope ticket that is selling for double that. And that's only happening right now during this show, only while they last. We only have about 10 of them. Call 516-620-3602. Ask for the Hope 2020 conference ticket. You can get more than one if more than one is available. But you have to pay with a credit card, and your payment has to clear tonight so that we can send you your special code tomorrow so that you can go to the conference on Saturday. Now, Alex, you mentioned keynotes, and we have 9 keynotes. How many conferences have you ever been to that have had 9 keynotes? We have one for every single day. You guys want to focus on any of them in particular?
I would love to mention something, again, chiming in here at the slightest provocation. And it sort of bounces off something that you mentioned earlier about the, you know, the biggest button on the Cyberpunk Film Festival site was hackers helping fight coronavirus, right?
Well, so on our site, on the Hope site.
On our site, that's right, yes, on the Hope site. And so, you know, one of our keynotes really came directly out of that sentiment. In the middle of March, using the DNS, Domain Name System Intelligence platform that I developed with my law firm, over the last couple of years, we detected a live state-sponsored attack targeting the World Health Organization that was on the 13th of March. Since that detection, we had forged a great friendship with the World Health Organization's Chief Information Security Officer, Flavio Agio, and had and you know, we became essentially friends and colleagues together. And had also, you know, helped them by funneling over some additional intelligence, and have been monitoring some things with respect to the World Health Organization as well. And I'm really pleased to say that, I mean, Flavio is an extraordinary chief information security officer, is one of the hardest jobs in the world right now, and he is going to be one of our keynote speakers. So we are going to have the chief information security officer of the World Health Organization speaking at HOPE in the midst of the worst global health crisis we have ever had, probably since the bubonic plague or since the Spanish flu at least 100 years ago, and at a time when the United States has taken affirmative steps to actually withdraw from the World Health Organization. So this is going to be nothing short of amazing and incredibly interesting. I think everybody should be glued to their screens to hear what Flavio Agio has to say.
I'd really like to highlight one of the other of the nine keynote speakers. This is Yeshi Mabate-Milner. Ms. Milner is an incredible inspiration to me. As some people might know, in my professional career, I'm a big data person. I've been dealing with big data and so forth for my whole career. What this keynote has done is basically the merger of big data, data analytics, and social empowerment. And she's been particularly active in an organization called Data for Black Lives. So this is clearly a socially conscious, you know, socially focused organization. She's one of the inaugural class of this Roddenberry Foundation fellows for work she did with Black Lives Matter, and also one of our favorites from a few years ago, Occupy Wall Street. So I'm just really inspired at how someone can take technologies that we all love the technology, but apply it so directly towards the social good. So I think this is going to be one of the really inspirational keynotes and highlights of the conference for me.
And we have nine keynotes altogether. We don't have time to talk about them all, but you certainly can take time and go to hope.net, click on keynotes, and you'll see a bio on every single one of them. And if you click on talks or schedule speakers, you'll get so much more information as well. Or you can click on workshops and learn all about those. So much is going on. And what's really cool is that these people are coming to the conference as well. You might run into them in the chat area where you can actually talk to them directly. So it's as close to coming to a real conference as I think we can get. And in many ways, I think it's more like a real conference than we've ever been able to achieve, because I just see so many teams working together that we never actually had before. People from all over the world. Because we have this feeling of the need to support each other to get through this and to feel that sense of community that really does matter.
Absolutely, and that's why I think some of the technologies are so important, and that we do them as comprehensively as possible, make it really accessible so that people who might ordinarily not be willing to ask a question of someone, or, you know, maybe intimidated a little bit by public speaking, perhaps since they're a little bit removed because of the technology and we've made it accessible, perhaps there'll be better ways to or more opportunities for people to just ask questions and not feel that kind of apprehension about speaking publicly as you would in a hallway or standing up in front of a room full of people in our Pentop track or in a big field.
Yeah, one thing that I've been saying since we went to a virtual conference is this weirdly opens it up to so many people that it, HOPE would not have been open to before. People who wouldn't have been able to travel to New York to take part in this, to either see it or to speak at it. We have speakers from countries all over the world now. We have audience members coming from all over the world, and we have people that are basically going to get together and share in this HOPE experience in a way that's never been done before. And I find that really exciting. I'm fascinated by the possibilities.
I absolutely agree. Having the opportunity to, you know, I was excited at first because we live in Queens. So I was like, oh, Hope is going to be really close to home. And now it's really close to home. But having the opportunity to share with so many people from the comfort of our own home and still be able to get the kind of mind-expanding, world-growing experiences that you get at Hope from the comfort of our own living room, I think is going to be a really amazing opportunity that's open to so many more people than we could ever fit in any physical space.
You know, it's interesting you say that because these pre-Hope shows that we do, usually Kyle and I are out renting a truck and driving around the city while you guys are doing radio, completely lost in all the preparation.
Yeah, I feel like our carbon footprint is probably just amalgamated inside co-location facilities. I don't think we're driving as much to create
that. No, it's great.
And
you know,
logistically, it's all virtual.
Tank of fuel lasts a month or more. but I still feel like, you know, we're supposed to be doing something outside. Like we have to get out there and start moving AV equipment around, and it's kind of a relief that we don't have to do that, but we are doing so much more on this end of it, and I just wonder how we ever were able to pull off in the past, but it's just something that keeps building, something that is pretty amazing. So lots and lots of prep, lots of activity. Now, Greg, I'm going to hand it back over to you just to give a quick outline to people who might be just tuning in, or who think this is too complex, or so many different types of technology. Can you just give a very quick guide to the different things that are happening in different parts of the conference and how accessible all of that is, particularly to people who might not be as technical as they think we are?
Sure. I mentioned a little bit of this before, and the key thing I want to mention following up on what we're just talking about is this is enabled by volunteers. We have a tremendous crew of volunteers, more volunteers, I think, than we've had in past events. And that's facilitated because, you know, you can sit in front of your computer at home or in the office. The main technology that we're going to be using is a live stream. So people will be able to watch this from wherever they are very easily without a lot of extra technology. So if you're able to stream Netflix, you know, to your computer, to your TV, you'll be able to watch the live stream. We're also going to use some teleconferencing software, Big Blue Button, for people to interact in workshops. And that is very similar to Skype and to Zoom and the other technologies that home office workers are so familiar with. And then we also have chat, this Matrix chat. And for people that have been chatting over the years, we have a lot of people that have used IRC and people that are also using SMS on their phones and group chat. Again, very similar. It's a website, a web page that you can use, or if you want, you can use a client. So there's a bunch of stuff behind the scenes that make all this stuff work, but those are sort of the core technologies that we've deployed for the attendees and the participants.
Yeah, I imagine that basically what you need to attend, like required supplies, would be basically a way to watch, like a way to stream from either the live stream itself or our other syndicated sites like our Channel 2600 page on YouTube and so on and so forth. You also might want to have a computer so that you can use the Element desktop client or access a web browser so that you can have those interactions and participate as an attendee that way, as well as the workshop platform that you just described will require some kind of either a laptop or a desktop machine, but they're pretty varied as far as available platforms and so on and so forth, and maybe some snacks? I don't know.
Yeah, bring snacks because it's a long conference. We tried really hard to make sure that the technologies will work for people that are on a phone or on a tablet, you know, maybe they just want to listen. And in fact, for people that might have visual impairments or different languages, we're even going to do a live automated transcript of the talks that you can get out of band. So you know, we're doing our best to make it accessible. It's not going to be perfect. I think having a computer is probably a good idea, but if you don't have a computer, you just have the ability to watch YouTube on your TV, you know, you have one of these smart TVs, well, that can pick up the stream as well, and you can watch. And if you're having difficulty with the Matrix chat, well, send an email, and people that have a ticket can send an email, and that email will get right to us, and that could be a question that goes to one of our keynotes or you know, one of the other talks. And again, if people bought a ticket and they're having a little difficulty, email the help desk, and we'll try to help you out. We have a lot of people behind the scenes that are, you know, pretty familiar with helping people through technologies, and we'd love to make sure that everyone has a good experience.
Absolutely. It all begins at 9 in the morning on Saturday, and, of course, we don't expect people will be able to make it to every single talk, and if there's a talk that you want to see, we are planning a video on demand service. Is that correct, Greg?
Yeah, it's a replay, and we're not sure if it'll be within moments or it might take an hour or so, but more or less right after a talk completes, that talk will be available. This will be in at least two places. We think one place it'll be right away, which is in the live stream. This is Internet Society, which we're so grateful to for running the live stream and a lot of the production behind the scenes of these talks. So the talks will be available on the same site as the live stream within probably just a few minutes. And then we're also going to push that out to the YouTube channel that is the 2600 channel for HOPE. And those are very easy to find. Just do a YouTube search for 2600 HOPE and you'll find all that. And so the idea is that you can just replay on demand. And since it's out there, it'll just be there permanently. You can share with your friends and watch it time and time again. And these will be, a lot of these, I think, are going to be really notable presentations that you will want to watch more than once after you see it.
All right. Well, we are practically at the end of this pre-HOPE show. Again, pledge support to the radio station at 516-620-3602 or give to WBAI.org. And as for the HOPE 2020 conference ticket for $100 pledge, which is half the price that the tickets are going for, this is only going to work tonight. After that, these tickets will not be available unless they already are not available. You need to give us an email address. You need to pay by credit card so that your payment is complete. And you will get an email tomorrow with your special code that will allow you to attend the conference starting Saturday at 9 in the morning. Closing comments, anyone?
All at once,
people. Go ahead.
Well,
it's
the same thing.
Yes, it's going to be amazing.
It is
and,
going to be amazing.
I am really excited. A bunch of us are going to be doing things like there will be an info desk sort of thing set up during the conference. There will be facilitators, MCs. A bunch of us are helping with that. Thank you, Greg, for wrangling all that as well, on top of the other 47 billion things you do. And I just can't wait for this to get started.
I think it's going to be great because it's going to be so much of what HOPE has been historically throughout the years. Plus, you know, HOPE 2020 is just more. It's more HOPE. And I think bringing more HOPE to the world is a great thing that we can all enjoy and all look forward to.
I realize I don't think we have mentioned the performances yet. So HOPE has a tradition of having great intellectual content, but also a lot of fun. And starting around midnight every night of the conference, we have a whole different suite of performances. We have chiptunes. We have some fantastic original compositions, a lot of different entertainment. So there's, just like at a real HOPE conference, there's every reason to stay up late and enjoy the entertainment.
Absolutely, and we're going to have to leave it at that. In fact, this is one of our performers right now, or two of our performers, Cameron Glass and Jonathan Massey. This piece, if you go to Channel 2600 on YouTube, you can hear it in its entirety because undoubtedly it'll be cut off on the radio. But just such incredible, got cut off on our computer. How about that? Oh, it's part of it. I'm sorry. Their music plus Worlds of If is also featured on Channel 2600. And we're going to have all kinds of other music throughout the conference. Just stay tuned. And as Greg said, those performances, they will be incredible as well. You can write to us, oth@2600.com. You can visit hope.net and see all the preparations and all the activity over the next week or two. And we'll be back in 2 weeks. You can see how we fared through all this. But please, we hope to see you at the conference.
Yeah, enjoy. Hope.net and become a BAI buddy and support community radio.
516-620-3602. Good night.
Into this environment. A spacecraft brought us in. in and made deposits, information deposits, in our vehicles when they were infants. They could make these little mental deposits in human plants. We'll call those deposits, for the sake of understanding, we'll call them souls. And those little deposits are really just like a little...
Hello, everybody. You're listening to WBAI 99.5 FM. My name is Eli Smith from the Jalopy Theater, and I'll be hosting Folk Radio coming up on Thursday from 10 until midnight. We'll be bringing you some down-home grassroots music, including blues, folk songs, traditional jazz, ballad singing, and lots more. That's music from right here in New York City, heading down to Appalachia and the Deep South, way out west and all across the country, as well as music from all around the world. Please tune your radios to WBAI or WBAI.org on Thursday from 10 to midnight and catch Folk Radio. Hope to see you there.